Hi, and welcome to the Marvel Rivals Review, a podcast where 3 minutes in their 30s talk all things Marvel Rivals, from the news to the balance and all the inevitable drama. And there is some drama.
Yes, there is.
When it comes to being an online community. I'm joined by always by my co-host, The Heater Work.
Hey, hey.
And Vance Helsing.
What's up?
So, guys.
Well, we're also missing Florida Man. Florida Man is out being, he's touching grass and being a real person.
He's doing his bang, man.
Strange.
Seeing people. Seeing
sights.
Weird
thing to
do. Yeah.
I don't know.
Couldn't be me.
Don't need it. Don't need it. All right. So, first thing I want to say, before we get started today, today's an episode where we're going to talk mostly about drama. Hey, these are just our opinions. If you don't like it, get bent, honestly. But we're going to try to have a nuanced adult conversation here. You know what I'm saying? So, try not to be insulting people. We're going to listen to everybody's point of view. We're going to try to advocate for everyone. An adult nuanced conversation.
Right. Yeah, so that means I'm not going to be throwing in quacks because this is an adult conversation.
An adult conversation. So, there was a support strike. You guys see this? You guys hear about this?
Yeah.
I heard whispers.
You heard whispers? I heard screams. Screams of agony.
So, like, this is, like, wild to me because I wish that people got, like, this up in arms about actual politics. But here we are.
We're right.
Support striking.
Oh, people do. Not enough, but people do.
But, like, okay, so let's go over the logs and run the tapes on what's happened. So, this all started from Necros. Necros, if you guys don't know him, was a Genji player at Overwatch, and he came over to Marvel Rivals, and he's like a really good like Spider-Man player. He's really good at a lot of things. And there was a clip of him from season one, by the way, that went viral. This is like months ago, like months and months ago, where he was calling in the heat of the moment. He was calling support players boosted, inflated, addit, like skillless, blah blah blah.
They have the worst takes or whatever.
Yeah, the standard like strategic hate that you see, right? So like this led to like people making a bunch of TikToks and the support strike starting where the, you know, like this idea of the supports are underappreciated, that there's too much toxicity. And this has actually led to like in-game ramifications where people have like stopped playing occasionally and they like hashtag support strike or they just all lock NCDBS hashtag support strike. And there's been a lot of hate towards Necros for saying this though, which is wild because it was just like a heat of the moment thing. But it ended for Necros in death threats, which is absolutely insane because you are really, I don't know how to describe this, like to get so incensed by a video game that when you left the video game, you took time out of your day to issue someone a death threat because of your opinion about some fucking pixels. Like that's absolutely fucking wild, man. Like I understand, like I say shit about people when I play the game, but I walk away from my computer and I leave it behind, you know. I don't
you want to hear some heinous shit. You should have heard him before we started this recording. He was livid.
Fucking high
and
mighty right now.
Yeah, he's on his high horse right now, but he was down in the mud about 10 minutes ago.
An adult nuance conversation.
We're gonna
talk about it. So, like, another thing that happened, though, was they, like emergency patched the game, which was kind of wild, and we'll get to that. So, like, let's just open the floor of the conversation about, like, what I see as valid complaint. Oh, okay, let's start out with this. You guys, what do you think is the easiest role in Marvel Rivals?
I see what he's doing.
What do you guys think, honestly? Honestly, just say
I think DPS.
DPS? Okay. Why?
You have one job. Shoot, kill the squishy. Shoot, kill the squishy. That's all you gotta do.
Really?
And okay. Most people lock DPS when they start, and they suck, because they have no game awareness. That comes with learning tank and support. And they feed for 100 levels.
Mm-hmm.
And they come to my quick play games.
I will say I think you have maybe a little bit of a misconception about the role of like DPS. Yes, DPS are supposed to get like final blows and do damage and stuff like that, but there's also other things that involved in that role, such as, you know, baiting cooldowns and like taking
by
all
shooting
Bengals.
Shooting bang banging.
Not always, right? There's a lot of like positioning, but you're right. There's a lot of because of those, I would say DPS is the hardest role. In terms of the like actually like get consistent value out of, I would say DPS is the hardest.
I'd say it's the hardest role to get good at.
Yeah, DPS is probably the hardest role to master, but as far as like the easiest to pick up and play for 90% of the player base, it's DPS. Everybody plays these games to shoot, do damage. Even the healers and the tanks are trying to be DPS. DPS is the easiest role.
I honestly have to disagree with you guys, which I'm sure you saw coming. This is not any hate to people who enjoy playing strategist. Like, go for it, fam. If you enjoy that, don't let anybody stop you from enjoying that. But I wouldn't say it's a challenging role when your base expectation is the heal the tank and counter ult. Like, that's like it to get basic value. And it's super simple, especially when the two most popular characters in the game, Cloak and Dagger and Rocket, required no mechanical gameplay. like absolutely no mechanics at all.
So I will say, like, yeah. Yes, those two heroes in particular, their skill ceiling is significantly lower. You don't have to do near as much to get as much effective value with those two. But the role itself in general as a whole, like, Conrad, we've played World of Warcraft together. Would you ever go and play a healer in World of Warcraft?
No.
Okay. So
different kind of game, Sayer, though.
Yes and no. It's the same concept. You have to be able to position yourself and be able to use your cooldowns to heal your team effectively. That is a lot more stressful because you, instead of just focusing on one person or two people you're trying to murder, you're trying to keep four other people and yourself alive at the same time.
And I'm not saying there's no skill expression in support. I'm just saying, especially because there's a lot of massive like rocket AoE heals, AoE heals from Cloak and Dagger, AoE heals from Invisible Woman, AoE heals from Loki, all these heals that do splash damage. Like, you're incentivized as support to win games consistently to just heal your tank. Ignore your DPS, build up alt charge as fast as you can, and then counter the first DPS that pops their ult, right? Because you're going to build alt charge the fastest. And that is incentivized into the gameplay loop of strategists, which is why I say it's the simplest role to play. Like, because I honestly think that any tanker player or any DPS player can swap to support, especially like a Rocket Raccoon, and win games easily. I don't see that for other strategists going in the other way. And there's, I think it's someone who plays all three roles. Yeah.
I feel like there's a lot of DPS characters that you can also cheese that are super easy. Like Moon Knight's super easy.
Or Punisher. Yeah, but Moon Knight's like, also
Scarlet Witch, you don't require any mechanical skill.
Moon Knight and Scarlet Witch are also bad. Like, they are not good characters.
Right, but at the lower ranks and stuff, anybody that is not good at DPS can just pick up those two and still get the same. It's the same concept as Cloak and Dagger and Rocket.
Well, here's the issue, though. It's like, at high rank gameplay, you don't see those characters, but you do see Cloak and Dagger and Rocket Raccoon just like consistently because they do so much and they never die. So okay,
and maybe that's just a balance issue, but I don't know if that's so much like just the role is the problem in general. That falls onto NetEase to, hey, this side of the balance is a little skewed between these two heroes.
Giving their ultimates more time to build up is definitely needed. Overall.
I'm just saying that there will always be, and I play my own fair share of strategists. I'm Lord on Cloak and Dagger and Luna Snow, right? And I'm just saying, I find it to be the easiest role. And it's just like, you always have ult. You always have it so fast. And your ults last so long. Everybody, there will always be frustration against strategist players in this game because their whole kits are designed around denial. There is almost no proactive gameplay from characters outside of like Loki and Jeff and maybe Invisible Woman. All the other strategists play hide in the back and counter abilities with cooldowns. Like, that's why there will always be frustration towards that role, is because they're designed right now and they get massive amounts of value from just denying everybody else's fun. And that's why I personally have a problem with Strategius. It's, just, it's the design, it's not the people that play him. Because that's just how the Strategius is right now. It's like, deny my ults, deny my dives, deny my everything. Right? And all the while being some of the most, the easiest characters to play. Right?
And maybe that's just because of how the state of the game is, too. Like, it's just, dive itself is so impactful. And let's be real. The assassinations that occur in Rivals are a lot faster than what we saw in Overwatch, I think. I mean, maybe Genji executes things just like as fast.
I think time to kill a Marvel Rivals is longer than Overwatch. You know, I can two tap people in Overwatch with most characters, right? I cannot do that in Rivals most of the time on most characters.
I mean, depending on what character you're playing, the two-tap is going to take longer than, you know, somebody that frame-perfect inputs their combos and executes somebody in 1.5 seconds.
Yeah, but that doesn't happen in the vast majority of games, is what I'm saying. It's like, maybe the Celestial and above Black Panthers can get that kill on you before you win, but there's also stuff you could have done to avoid that. One, you can see where they're... You should know where they're going to coming from because they do the same cycles over and over. You should know the state of their cycles and you should be able to, you know, position yourself that you have to make him take risks to get to you. Right.
Well, and again, with that also is not just a support issue. That's a player issue. That's a game sense issue, which we've talked about this too. Rivals does not feel like it is a game that values game sense as much. Or no, it does value game sense more, but it doesn't value mechanics as much. So never mind, my point went out the window. Disregard that.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. I'm saying, and because of that, it's super easy, and especially because of how long support alts last. It is so easy to counter alt the DPS alts and get value. Because that's all you have to do to get to decent ranks on support is build alt charge, counter alt when the DPS enemy DPS ults. That's all you have to do. It's like incredibly frustrating to be able to go up against three strategists who have among them about 40 seconds of immortality buttons. That is incredibly frustrating. So
yeah,
and that's more of a conversation on support design and not again the people that play it. Because, you know, I have some fun playing some Adam Warlock and some Jeff occasionally and, you know, Luna Snow and even some Cloak and Dagger. I'm not saying it's not fun. I'm just saying, like, I stopped playing it because I feel like it's boring. I feel like support in Marvel Rivals is Healbot and less about being proactive and more about being reactive. So.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Mm-hmm. It's easy. I think it's boring for sure, but it is definitely boring. But I wouldn't, still wouldn't say it's easy because you got to deal with stuff, especially if like your tank's not communicating and you're getting jumped. That's the worst feeling in the world.
I mean, your tank's never going to communicate, right? Like, and that's part of what makes a good player a good player is being able to survive the Spider-Man dive, being able to survive the Black Panther dive, the, you know, actually trade cooldowns to win a duel kind of thing. Because every support or strategist in this game has abilities to do that. Now, if you get frame perfect, like spear, dash, dash by a Black Panther, sure, you're out of luck. Or if the Spider-Man hits you with the 250, there's still stuff you could have done. If it's about positioning, it's about your pathing, if it's about your cooldown use, there's almost always something you could have done.
I think that, though, is, like, specifically talking about, like, a 1v1. Like, if you're getting dove by two people and you're one support.
let's be completely real. That coordinated dive isn't going to happen in the vast majority of ranks, right?
I've been hella Black Panthered a lot.
That says something about your rank if you're getting dove by hella. But yeah, coordinated dives I feel like don't happen. And yeah, so if two people dive you, you're out. But you know, you still could have done something. It's like guaranteed. Sometimes, like if they get you, they get you. And you know, I can see that being a complaint. Now, I do think, let's move on to some of the support complaints that I think are especially valid. I do think dive is strong this season. Dive is pretty strong. Knive is pretty strong, especially with like the Captain America buffs and stuff like that, and you know, the Iron Fist best buffs. Yeah, and I do think that is a valid complaint. I do think, especially if you're not getting peeled, like, you know, and you're not going to, so that can be frustrating. So knowing that you're dying and it's not your fault sometimes is like, that can be frustrating. You know, you could just go like Rocket Raccoon though and live, if or like Cloak and Dagger and live, because they're strong against dive. I do think that there's excessive hate against supports. I do think that they are more of a marginalized group based on the role. They might get an excessive amount of the hate, you know, from myself included sometimes, easy targets. And I do think the current rank system is a big problem with supports too. So let's jump into each of those topics individually. Dive is really strong, guys. I will give it to supports. I have changed my mind on Spider-Man. Spider-Man is easy to play. I don't think he deserves a 5-star ratings for most people. Because, and this is why, it's because he can come in and kill you without having to aim. Because his kill combo requires no aiming to do. It auto locks on. And his deaths don't really matter. Because he just respawns and is back in the fight almost immediately. So
you gotta aim your web cluster. I'm just gonna put that.
Yeah, but you just shoot in the general direction, and if one of the six hits, you fucking kill someone. So it's not that bad.
Yeah,
it's a projectile though.
Yeah. And it's still easy. You just shoot in the general direction. One of the six is likely to hit something, and that's your new target. Then you just go in, you uppercut, and you hit C. It's like, oh, look at that! I'm a top 500 spider.
If you have venom, but you need more web clusters when you're diving in. So you
and I'm saying it's like Spider-Man. Spider-Man is super annoying, especially in like low. Like SRs, which is why he's banned so much, where like people aren't paying attention to the Spider-Man. Now I just play Mr. Fantastic and I just, you know, give 75 shields to whoever the Spider-Man webs. That way he can't one tap him, but you know, not everybody pays attention to what's going on. So I'll give him that. Captain America is really strong and he's an immortal god that you can't really do a lot about, right? Like even if your whole team turns and shoots the Captain America, he might still get away. And that whole 6 seconds it took your whole team to kill him might result in you guys still losing that fight. So that's incredibly annoying to just have like a Captain America glued to you the whole game. And Venom is Venom is super easy to play. I'll give people that. He's incredibly easy to play and just gets value for like 1,000 extra health just for pressing E at the right time. He's insanely easy. He has an insanely easy cycle. Just climb up on the wall, dive in, swing out, dive in, hit E. It's incredibly easy to just do Venom cycle over and over and over, and like he should be harder to play. And also, Spider-Man should not have webs when he comes out of spawn. He should have no webs. Like that'll eliminate the problem of his death not mattering. Is if he doesn't respawn with 3 of his web swings, you know?
Yeah, I was about to say if he were to respawn with 0 web wings.
What?
Wow. if he came out of spawn with, because that's the same thing they did to Wrecking Ball, isn't it? They got rid of his grappling hook. I am having a stroke today. What is happening?
Because let's be real. Like the most kills you die by Spider-Man, he's doing the bread and butter combo, the cluster web to zip to you, upper club, maybe like punch you in the face. How many cool deaths do you get to like Spider-Man? Like how many times do you like, oh, that Spider-Man earned that kill? No, it's almost always the base level value. And then he dies and he comes in and does it again and just does on repeat. That's like 99% of Spider-Man players can just do that.
I think that's great. As a Lord Spider-Man, I enjoy doing exactly the
same. Going one for one.
But it shouldn't be like that. He shouldn't be able to get right back into the fight and do it again, right?
I agree. Like, yeah. That's a problem.
He don't got a lot of health, man. Just shoot him.
He doesn't, but he also moves that fucking Mach 9. And he's hard to shoot. So, like, I can see why supports are being mad because, like, Spider-Man, it's like Venom and these Captain America are such popular characters right now. You almost always have someone glued to your ass, which, you know, you kind of have to expect to, which I'll give to, the other players, is because supports are so strong and their healing is so ridiculous and their ability to deny plays is so strong. You have to kill the supports first most of the time to win fights like solidly. That has to happen. They will always be the number one priority. You will never be able to play the game just by sitting in the back, healing your tanks, and not expecting people to attack you. You're always going to be target number one. So if you don't have the nads to deal with that, you probably shouldn't be playing support. Okay. Excessive hate against support. I think this is one is real too. Like, people always blame the supports for dying. I am guilty of this too, and I always admit that when I do it. So yeah, people are tend to blame the supports a lot. What do you guys
think? So here's the weird thing, right? It's exactly like with the military, like how we always shit on like Marines or the Chair Force or whatever, because we were in the Navy. It's the same thing, except unfortunately, the strategists and supports blame the tanks and the DPS all the time for like no peel, but it's 2v1 tanks and DPS against the healers. So it's always more hate that goes towards the supports, and it just comes off as louder. But I feel like if there was some other type of support role, that would also be going up against DPS and tanks and be like, hey, then it would be equaled out. But since it's 2-1, it just seems like supports get a lot of more hate, and they probably do.
Yeah, I give hate as while I'm playing support when a tank goes in alone and then complains he doesn't have healing and he dies. That's what I see on the support side. People not grouping up.
Oh yeah, and I'll be real though, like especially in quick play, sometimes I get mad at my supports because I'll stand right next to them spamming the I need heal button, and they just like don't, and I'm like okay, yeah. But you know, I can say
right
the same
in front
thing.
Of their view.
Yeah, I can say the same for DPS and tanks too. Like you said, they'll can send it down mid, jump over a wall, and then like how do
the
I
same
have healing?
Path 8 times alone?
keep walking main.
How are you having fun?
Keep fighting, like just staggering their death while everybody else has already died. Yeah, absolutely.
I just want to talk about a stagger. I got the worst stagger today. I'm not even. Yeah, flash rocks.
I agree. So it's not just a support thing. I think there's a general lack of skill. I'm gonna say something very brave right now. Is that Marvel Rivals players are freaking horrible at the game. And that's like everybody in every role. And if you don't believe me, go play Overwatch competitive for a week. And then you come back to Marvel Rivals and see the stark difference between players.
Yeah.
It's like it's night and day. Like I'm a diamond player in Overwatch and I haven't played in a while. I've almost fallen to gold one-tricking Freya. It's the complete difference. And then easy GM in Marvel Rivals, right? Like, come on. Like, you can tell a lot of these people are new to, like, FPS strategy, like, 6v6 hero shooter kind of games, right?
Yeah.
And so, before we move on from that, it's not to say that you're bad at the game.
General population hasn't gotten good at the game yet.
Right. But there's also a lot of new people that were not interested in Overwatch, but because this has the Marvel IP associated with it, there's a lot of people interested in the game that have never played a competitive shooter before. So,
it's going to take some time to get
used to it and get good at it. Not saying you never will, but...
And that's why I'm saying that a bunch of gold players that have never gotten plat, and I know a few of these people, I've known players that have never hit plat in Overwatch, hitting GM1, Celestial 3 in Marvel Rivals, because it's that stark of a difference between like an experienced group of players that play at low ranks on other games versus the inrush of new people at Marvel Rivals. And like, if you are mad because I'm saying the whole community is bad, I don't know what to tell you, because we're all bad. There's a large group of players just doesn't have the experience, right?
Yeah.
Like, and it's apparent. Like the Heater Work says, you're like, people will send it main every time. Stay six stacked in a ball up against a Moon Knight who's just cleaving them in half over and over and over. The reason Spider-Man gets so much value is because like no one realizes that he's just hanging out by the spawn, killing the Mantis every time she pops out. right? Like
good times.
Which is that's what's weird to me. It's this game doesn't value mechanics. Game sense is more important, but nobody has the game sense to do the right thing half the time. So I don't understand how can it be. How does it value game sense more than mechanics, but people are just so bad at the games?
The characters are easy, like especially the popular characters, are easy to play in Marvel Rivals. That's just fact. Marvel Rivals is a casual game. It's a casual game, and people just haven't gotten good at it yet. But
I think they would benefit from the, hey, everybody's dead, you should group up voice line, like Overwatch has now. They put in forever later. It was like... People, I think the games will go a lot smoother. Mm-hmm. People just paid attention.
So, another thing we really need to talk about, the valid complaint of the strategist players, is the current rank system heavily being in favor of DPS players, especially. And with seemingly the most weighted stat being final blows. And I've seen this in my own games, and it's why I definitely don't flex the support anymore in comp. It's because if I do well on, let's say, the Human Torch, and I go like 40 and 5, I get like 40 points, and I lose like 8 if I lose a game. But if I go to support and win with, you know, decent stats, but not like a lot of damage or final blows, I get like 20 for a win, and then I lose like 25. It's insane. Or more, like I've even lost like up to 30 playing on support, like yeah,
which is also it's insane. You would think like if they were going to this whole, you know, we want your stats and your personal performance to determine things, you would think they would also look at the healing numbers as like for a support player, rather they would look at those healing numbers as opposed to the damage numbers.
Mm-hmm. And this is why I hate this kind of system, is because like that stat doesn't matter, right?
Right.
It barely. I know people like to look at their healing numbers or their damage numbers and being like, "Oh, look at me! I healed 50,000 and I still lost." Obviously, this was other people, and I'm like, "Well, no, you've just been healing chip damage, you know. But your alt usage was messed up all the time. You didn't properly use your alt. You didn't properly use your cooldowns. You know, you died to the Spider-Man a lot. Like, come on." Like, your healing stat really doesn't matter. That's why I hate this, like, performance base. I think it should just be you won or you lost, standard numbers. If they're going to do performance base, it shouldn't change your, like, how much you gain or lose by more than, like, 5 points, right?
Yeah, that would make more sense. Like, if, you know, a win gets you 20. If you did really well in the game, then you get, like, 23. If you did really poorly in the game, then you get, like, 19.
And
then something
you
like
did
that.
Really well, yeah. And you know, you lose, yeah, that like it shouldn't deviate by more than 5 points. So like, yeah, I can see why strategist players are especially mad this season with the hate they typically get, with the hate they typically get with the system not working in their favor right now, and you know, being constantly targeted, and it feels like you're playing Dead by Daylight. I 100% understand that, but. You also have to realize is that that's how strong your role is too, is that it's easier to win a game if you're just taken out, because you guys make the fights last forever to the point where I know some people like the long fights, but come on, man. Like, you know, 12 seconds of like Luna ult is ridiculous. Like then to hop it on with 8 seconds of Invisible Woman's ult, then another Loki does another Luna ult, and that's been 40 seconds and no one's died. That's lame. Right?
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, this is why they need to bring one shots back into the game. Make Black Widow one shot. Make her the problem.
You can one shot supports to their ults, but it's hard. It's hard to do. And yeah, it's just annoying. I feel like support alts, I don't mind that supports, if they want to go this like direction with supports having AoE heal alts, that's fine if they last like 5 to 6 seconds, you know?
Actually, I had a thought. Is there any form of anti-heal other than Doctor Strange's own self-anti-heal?
Nope.
So maybe that's what they need, is we need like an Ananade, which maybe Ultron might have.
He won't.
Yeah.
That would be kind of dope. So yeah, I think if they brought a hero in that has anti-heal or something that to that effect, which then the problem becomes that character becomes a mandatory, like I have to play it. We have to have it on the team or we just lose. So that's, It's one of those things. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to talk. Those are like, and then there's the complaints against supports, right? Like we've already talked about a little bit, like too many AoE healing ults that last forever. That's the big one, right? Because no one likes to be denied all the time, right? If you counter ult me every time, that's annoying and it's easy to do. I'm sorry. So there should be a timing difference where, you know, like you have to time your ults way, make it way harder to use support ults than it is. It should just be harder. I think we've discussed this. You guys don't think this, but I think they're typically easier to play, especially Cloak and Dagger and Rocket. Rocket Raccoon has a 62% pick rate right now and a 60% win rate, which is insane because he's played in over half the games and he's winning over half the games. Rocket is he's way too good for how easy he is to play. He should never be good just because of how skillless he is, in my opinion. And then I just wanted to touch on this, but there's this like expectation I saw on the support strike where supports and strategist players want to be thanked for their healing, which I think is ludicrous because I've never been thanked for my DPS. You know, I've never been thanked for my tanking. Like, why should you be thanked for doing what you're supposed to, right? That's insane.
You kind of do at the end of the game when you get the commendations and the thumbs up, right? Like, that's kind of what the point of that whole system is like, hey, you did a great job and I enjoyed playing with you. Am I crazy?
I'm personally not
give out stickers or something.
Yeah. I'm personally not gonna pat your head for doing the bare minimum you need to do to win the game, which is heal. I'm sorry. That's like the bare basic thing you need to do to win the game is have good healing numbers. And then everything else matters too, right? I'm not gonna pat your head just because you have the highest healing, and you shouldn't expect anybody to do that. That's ludicrous. Okay. So now that we've talked about some of the issues that we have with strategists, how should their gameplay be? Should they be heal body? Should they be more, should they have more agency in taking duels and like having more proactive plays? Or should their design be set around how, you know, sitting in the back line and healing and trying to avoid fights? Because some people, that's fun to them. And that's why I find strategists boring in Marvel Rivals, is because I don't like sitting back and just healing. Right, but some people want that gameplay and they don't want to have to take duels. So where should the design of strategists go?
I think we should have a mix of both, honestly.
Yeah.
Sometimes I want to sit in the back because I don't feel like using my brain as much. Other times I want to be able to stop shit from happening a lot and stop people from attacking me and make plays, you know. But yeah, I think if they just keep focusing on less AoE healing ultimates, like Vance said, get an anti-healing in there. I think the support role will fit a little better in the grand scale of the game.
Yeah, I'm hoping that the design's going forward. Like, because that's just it. That's why I took a break from Marvel Rivals. It's because, like, it feels like every game is just, you know, if you don't have a AoE healing support ult, you just lose. I'm right. I'm sorry, but you just lose, right? You lose to like the Bucky or the Spider-Man or the anybody other DPS that has insane alts too, right? And that's another problem maybe too, is like insane DPS alts and insane healing alts, and that the way that just leads to these long drawn out fights, I'm just not a big fan of all the time, right?
I think so. The other thing is like, and I know this is Marvel Rivals. This is a Marvel Rivals podcast, but the only comparison we have for this game is Overwatch, right? And Overwatch, I think, has done really well recently with how they've designed, like, how their support design changed. Because it originally, like, it was backline-type heals, other than, like, Lucio, who had to be in the middle of everything and trying to heal that way. They've brought this balance of you have people in the backline that can heal, like Ana or Juno or whatever, but they have utility that requires them to be in the middle of the fight. And then like you have people like Brig that, you know, I can throw a health pack to somebody, but you want me to be in the middle of the fight actually fighting. So that's what I think Rivals needs to look at, is they need to find a way to incorporate the brawly type healers that, you know, actually bring healing by doing damage.
And they are those. There are, I think, proactive supports, right? I think Loki, Invisible Woman, yeah. Mantis, these supports can go in and do damage. The problem is they're just not quite, for the vast majority of players, not quite as impactful on the game as things like Cloak and Dagger and Rocket. And that's kind of frustrating to me. Is that it feels to me an excessive amount of reactive support designs, where the designs are react to cancel value, and there's not as much, or the weaker supports are definitely the proactive ones, the ones that have to take angles, land shots. Those seem to be almost always the weaker of the two supports in general, and I feel like it should be the opposite. I think the more proactive the character, it should be stronger, because it takes more risk to play it. It's harder to play it. It's easier to react to a voice line and hit a button, right? So those should always be weaker, and I don't feel like it is right now, right? Mm-hmm. All right. And that's another problem I think supports have right now, and they kind of covered this in the patch a little bit, is that there's like a lack of agency, which is another thing I find boring with supports. Like, right, it's like sometimes you just can't really take duels, right? You can't, like, you're gonna lose if you try to take it. You have to run and hide and pocket your other support. There is no taking these off angles. There's a lack of agency besides straight up denying alts with your ult and just massive amounts of healing. You know, sometimes I don't feel like supports are that impactful, but you can definitely feel it when you're not getting healed, right? So it's like, I think the support design is just a little bit boring, and that's not to go against people that, you know, enjoy playing it. I'm like, all the power to you. I enjoy playing some strategists here and then too. I just think in terms of the other roles, it's the most boring, personally. So.
Yeah. And again, everybody's entitled to their opinion. If you enjoy the role, that's fine. And if you don't enjoy the role, don't play the role. But you don't have to criticize other people and their roles if you have no idea what that role even entails.
And regardless of where you're standing on it, things like sitting necros, like death threats, is wild over a video game, my man. Like, go outside, touch grass. I don't know. But like,
so
it's really
with the Necros thing, right? So he is a content creator. He is in the open space, and everything he says is under scrutiny. I don't deny that. That's not some fantasy that I believe that he can just say whatever he wants and he's not going to have some type of backlash. However, going to the extent of death threats over a video game is absurd. Like, and the thing is, I think it's just because Necros has recently blown up and become really big and was having a way larger community than what he was.
He was going from streaming to around 500 people on average when he played like Overwatch to about 10,000 average.
Yeah. So he blew up. So he had more eyes on him, and I'm trying to think about how to word this without trying to like copy everyone else that I've heard talk about this. It's hard because he's gonna say things, but he also has to realize that now he is popular and is giant, that he is going to get baited into saying something. But even then, the fact that this was said a month and a half ago, or not a month and a half ago, but a season and a half ago,
In his defense, it was when supports were giga busted, and it was the triple support meta all the time.
Yeah, so,
it's hard, you know.
Being a public figure in a place like a video game space, it's okay to disagree with someone. I think it's not okay to ever drag someone's name through the mud, especially these TikToks that are coming out about them. Like, they're not; these people aren't making TikToks because they're actually mad at Necros. They just saw him slip up and say something he probably shouldn't said, and they're like, I can now farm for clout. Like, I
and
might be able to have my second
too.
Of internet fame, yeah.
It's people don't give a damn about the actual material. They just want the drama. They just want to, which is kind of what we're doing, but we're not always talking about the drama. Like, we actually care about the game. But that's what all these other people are trying to do, and that's what, you know, gaslights and brings the flames up, is all these people that are just like, oh, he said some heinous thing. Like, it. Every single person has played a video game.
Anyway, so.
Yes, every person has played a game, whether it be single player, multiplayer, or whatever, and said, I fucking hate this game. I never want to play this game again. And then they immediately queue up into another game. Every single person has done it.
Every day. Yeah.
So to go after this one guy who, in the heat of the moment, said something that he probably shouldn't have said or whatever, but is, it got real dark. But it's absolutely ludicrous to judge this man for one thing that he said in the heat of the moment when we have all done the exact same thing.
Yeah, and it's all right not to like someone and don't watch. I don't like XQZD, so I don't watch
it. Right?
But I've never like gone on there and be like, blah, 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 XQC did this and this and that, blah, 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 Rage Bait, trying to get, you know, money, you know? I've never done that either, so I just don't watch his content, you know?
Right. And that's the easy thing to do. If you don't like something somebody says, don't watch it. It's that easy. And don't try and... I hate the brigading that happens with it.
Yeah.
With all the things going on in America, sending death threats to an internet Spider-Man player.
Right, who's channel, not even American, right?
Channel that rage into something important.
Who's not even. Like, come on, guys.
Yeah, channel your anger into something that's actually going to go make a difference in the real world. Please. Yeah,
for real. For real. It's wild. And then, it's even crazier because, like, today, like, he kind of got bullied into doing an unranked to GM, like, he's kind of fighting back a little. Okay, so I find it really funny because Necro's created an unranked GM account where he's playing Strategist to Celestial, and he started it today, and he named the account the hardest role.
He's trolling, and he
was playing in bronze, and he, out of the 11 games that he played, like getting out of bronze, he won 10 of them and lost one, and he had 10 MVPs, by the way, but someone in that time took that, like, clips of the game he lost and posted it, like, trying to clip farm on, like, whatever, and your short tour, like, what's that called,
TikTok.
Yeah, they posted a bunch of TikToks about how he was having a hard time in bronze and was taking L's in bronze. When he lost one time in bronze, had 10 wins with 10 MVPs. So out of 11 games, he lost one, and the rest of him, he won with MVP playing Loki, right?
Like, and again, that's something else that's wrong with our society. We live in a society where nobody wants to follow up on headlines. They just see the headline, and they're like, oh my god, that's the entire truth. Read.
It's right here in front of me.
Fucking.
And that's what. And
stop
that's why
reading Dragon Ball and playing Yu-Gi-Oh and read, please.
Yeah, and that's why these people that do this stuff, like these people coming after Necros, are like the lowest form of human life, in my opinion. Is like they're like the scum of the earth because they know exactly what they're doing. They don't care about this. This isn't the constructive conversation. It's rage baiting because they know the masses will just see it and they're like, "Fuck Necros!" Right?
Yeah.
Like it's the lowest. It's so pathetically lame to do. Like
it's cringe. You are now cringe. Yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah. Right. Now do it for us. We need the free clout.
Yeah. Somebody say some heinous shit so we can get Jeff the Land Shark. No, we already talked about Jeff. I don't know what we can say that we haven't already said.
So
Dante, say the word.
Yeah. So a bunch of these TikTokers are like, Necros is ruining Marvel Rivals. Does Necros have the power to ruin the whole game? Does the streamers? Because some people say Ninja ruined Fortnite. People like, I don't know, Super ruined Overwatch. I doubt people say that about Super, but Ninja?
You don't know who Ninja is?
I don't. No idea.
Dude, really?
He was like one of the first, like, super famous streamers, but like,
yeah. He was like the Fortnite player.
Yeah, and he plays Marvel Rivals. He streams Marvel Rivals now. So,
wow.
But do streamers have that big of an impact over the general public opinion of the game that they can change whole viewpoints? Do you think like change the waves, ruin games entirely?
For example,
have that kind of power.
For example, DeHeater didn't even know who Ninja was. If Ninja said some heinous shit, do you think? Yeah. Dante or DeHeater would be like, oh my god, I'm never gonna play this game again. He'd be like, who the hell are you talking about?
Ruin the game.
What are you talking about?
I think I think for most of you guys, you don't realize how small of a population you are if you watch content, especially like content like ours, right? We're a very, very teeny tiny podcast, right? An itty bitty thing, right? And even someone that has like 10,000 average viewers who's in the voice opinion, the vast majority of people that play this game, out of the millions and millions of people that play this game, a very, 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 very tiny fraction of them watch content creators at all. So, like,
yeah,
the idea that they have any major impact on this game, I'm not saying they don't have any, because they obviously do, but they, like, they can change the whole public opinion against, like, strategist players is wild, and you guys are crazy for thinking that.
They have no real ability to change anything in the community. It's just the perspective of it is right. What happens. Yeah.
I'm sorry, but like if you are scrolling on your phone and you accidentally come across a clip of Necros being like, strategists are boosted, and you're like, oh yeah, strategists are boosted. There's no way that was the first and only nail in that coffin anyway. You know what I mean? It's like, if that's what changes your opinion, you must have already been on the fence about that. Like, oh, sport. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you were already thinking it. You just had somebody say it out loud, and you're like, oh, maybe I've been wrong this whole time. Yeah.
Like that, like the idea that someone who never thought of these issues about strategists like come or like it's like, oh yeah, fuck Necro. Yeah, no, come on, let's be real here.
Yeah,
all right, so let's talk about the patch notes, because you know the support strike worked. Like they went on strike, and then there was change from the developers, right? If only I could see that with, like, real industry.
Well, hang on now. Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
But they made some... Let's go over it. Let's go over the patch notes. And, right, we love our support players, by the way. I know I say your role is boring and all that stuff, but we love having you around, and you are necessary, and we do appreciate it, but I'm not going to thank you every time, too. So moving on to a different topic.
take this appreciation from Conrad for what it's worth.
Right. Captain America, they reduced his base health from 650 to 600. What do you guys think?
Good.
Is that enough to stop him?
No.
No, it's not.
Not even close. Because he still gets the anchor health from teaming up with Bucky.
Yeah, so he's still at 700 health total, yeah.
Yeah,
with a 350 shield, yeah. So
no, not enough.
Yeah, it's not enough. Captain America is still fucking good.
Yeah.
Doctor Strange decreased the energy cost to unleash Eye of Agamotto from 3400 to 3100.
We're eating.
Okay, so 10% buff, technically.
Yeah,
we're eating. He's good in there. He's getting back.
I mean, they it's good. I don't think it's enough to like make Doctor Strange good again. Because realistically, what the thing that now killed him is his damage output. He just doesn't. Now this is a step in the right direction, because when they nerfed his damage as much as they did, that's also an indirect nerf to his ultimate, because the less damage you do, the less ult charge you get. Right.
Right.
So this puts him more his ultimate more in line with his current damage. But I think his big problem now is like he can't just get these massive ease off and these massive like where he explodes on four people when they die. That just doesn't happen anymore, right? That much. Groot, they reduced the health of the Ironwood Wall from 700 to 600.
Does not change anything.
Yeah.
He's still gonna be the highest damaging tank out there.
And my teammates will still refuse to shoot deployables. So
Nothing's gonna change there.
Spider-Man decreased the damage range of the amazing combo, his uppercut, from a 5-meter radius to a 4-meter radius. I think it's still super forgiving of an ability.
You can just zip past it. You can just zoom real close to them and hit you. You don't even have to look. You don't have to aim. Yeah. It's
not. I think the real way they need to fix this is they either take it down to a 3 or a 3-meter radius. Okay, 2 would probably be too hard to hit when you're moving at Mach speed. And he's either go down to a 3-meter radius or a 5-meter radius and a cone that's in front of him instead of a spear.
Yeah.
The Winter Soldier, I am absolutely livid about this one.
Wild.
They adjusted Tainted Voltage to have 2 charges. So the ability he has to shoot the electric ball that slows and knocks targets out of the sky, it knocks flyers out of the sky, has 2 charges now. Don't also forget that he gets 45 extra health every time he uses this. So, and it reloads his guns. So,
yeah, he's all right.
I mean, I don't think it's still going to be enough to bring him back, but it is.
Oh, yeah, it is. For sure.
You
for
think
sure.
so?
For sure, this breaks him right in half. I'm already seeing Winter Soldier everywhere again.
Cap Winter Soldier.
Dude, like, yeah, he's he wasn't the most picked character for 2 seconds, and they're like, we got to fix this. You're out.
We got a movie coming out.
Yeah, they had a movie coming out. That's right. Strategius. So they buffed some Strategius. So they added a new effect to Quantum Magic for Adam Warlock. When he lands a crit on an enemy, it reduces the cooldown of Avatar Lifestream by 1 second. That's his heal. That his where he snaps his fingers and heals. So if you're landing headshots, you're always healing.
Insane.
Yeah, that's a huge buff.
It's absolutely crazy. Good Adam Warlocks will now just never die because, you know, if they're getting dived, they can, like, not only can they use their shift, but if they hit a couple headshots on you, they can heal themselves again and again and again, right? Wild. Which I'm okay with this because Adam Warlock doesn't have an AoE sustain ult. So I'd much rather see him in my on the enemy team than not. Right? Cloak and Dagger as Cloak increase the damage of Dark Force Cloak from 75 to 80 per second. As Dagger increase the damage of Light Force Dagger from 15 to 18. I mean, this is whatever. It's like I don't really notice a difference. The Spider-Mans, the Captain Americas, and Black Panthers, and the Mr. Fantastics, and all the things that you hate are still coming for you. So
you're still the target.
Looking at you.
Yep. Luna Snow once again avoids a nerf to her ultimate and gets buffed. proving once again she is the developer's favorite child. They adjusted the damage falloff from her primary fire from 60% at 40 meters to 75%. So now she can do more damage at her max falloff range.
Great.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Yeah, Luna's good. She's always been good. Mantis. We're empowering Mantis's damage output. They increase the hit damage of Life Energy Blast from 50 to 55, which is a primary fire.
Okay. I mean, that's...
So the problem is it's still Cloak and Dagger and Rocket Raccoon are going to be the only two supports ever played ever by the vast majority of players. So it's like...
I mean, I don't know, though. The Mantis thing, that's a 10% like buff. That's pretty sizable for nothing else being changed.
But why play Mantis when, like, dive is so strong? So people are still going to just be playing Cloak and Dagger and Rocket Raccoon. Because remember, Rocket Raccoon has a burst heal of 150, because if you shoot your balls at someone's feet, they burst heal for 100, and they heal for 50 as it passes. So, like, you just keep shooting at their feet, and they can't die, right? Rocket's actually busted in half and easy to play. Okay. Stars aligned. Captain America and Winter Soldier. Upon leaping to a teammate, Stellar Impact will provide 50 bonus health to allies within range. It's whatever. Like, no one's going to use that to team up still, so. I've never seen it used in a game, and I've seen Captain America's with Winter Soldier, so. So what do you guys think of the patch notes? Is it do enough to fix the strategic problems?
Absolutely not.
No. I mean, it makes Adam Warlock players eating real good. Yeah. But other than that, no. That doesn't change anything.
Doesn't change anything. Right. Like, I understand the frustration. Support thinks dive's too strong. Dive thinks support's too strong. When in reality, they're both just really strong. I think that I'd prefer dive characters to be stronger than support players because, like, supports are the ones that slow down the game. And that's just the realism of cooling, like healing, is that you're slowing down the game, right? And that's boring for most of the people playing against it. So it should be harder to play, and you shouldn't have free value for less input. All right. I want to reiterate that we're all bad at this game, and these are just our opinions about, like, the support drama and stuff like that. So be mad if you want to. Stop watching us if you want to. That's just our opinions. We value everybody that plays the game, and no one should receive excessive hate for the role they want to play or anything, really, unless you're being a toxic piece of shit first, and then at which case you open the floodgates and you deserve everything that's said to you. So don't start it. And, you know, don't do it, too. So what can we do as a community, as players, to help this? The first thing I want to say is mute your mics if you can't. And like me, I mute my mic almost always when I play because I know I get mad when I play. And even though I know it's not, like, the support problems most of the time, That's just what I do when I get mad, is I blame someone. And I know it in the moment, so I just don't communicate with my team, especially when I'm mad. So, like, if that's you, and there's nothing wrong with getting mad at video games, and a lot of people happens, it's not like you're a shitty person because you get mad at video games, but don't take that out on others, right? Mute your mic, shut up, and just deal with it yourself. Complain to your buddies in Discord. That's what I do. Moderate
your game time. Yeah, we go deaf a lot.
Yeah. Moderate your game time, right? If you're losing a lot, walk away, touch grass, bro. Like, go outside, play with your cats. I don't know. And you know, stand up for others. If you see someone being flamed at all, say something, right? Like, it's a video game, right? Stop flaming people, at least to their faces. Flame them to yourselves all you want, but don't actually get in there. Has a player ever done better after you flamed them? Like, be real with me, guys. Like, have you ever called a support player shit and then all of a sudden they start popping off? Like, have you ever talked bad about that, like, Widowmaker on your team and then all of a sudden she starts
I've seen that happen where I'm trash talking and all of a sudden they pop off and I'm like, well, I was horrendously wrong. My bad.
That happened on the enemy team where I trash started the trash talk and they decided to pop off.
Remember that time?
That's a different type of like tilting. It just becomes a spiteful tilt.
Me and Dahina were playing when the game like first came out and we were losing a lot. And we were getting bot lobbies, and I went into one lobby and I wasn't sure if they were bots or not, so I was like, bots ? And they didn't say anything, and I'm like, okay. So I started just typing stuff like 100100111100 stuff like that, and I just like beep beep boop when I got a kill and stuff like that. And then we ended up losing that game, and they type bots back ? And that's the only time they ever talked.
which was kind of funny,
right? But like,
oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
All right. So I think we got one more little segment before we call it the day, and I'll send it over to Vance.
All right, we got another heavy metal. This one is with Valiant Blue. So let me share my screen. How did I do this last time? Like this, I think.
Yeah, sure.
All right, so now exactly. You can see this. I gotta turn the stream over to this. Cut away. There we go. All right, you ready?
Heavy metal.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Heavy Metal with Vance Helsing, where my rank is so low, you would think it was wearing apple-bottom jeans. Today, I'm joined by Valiant Blue. How you doing today, sir?
Hey, I'm pretty good. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm bad. Having a stroke, apparently. I'm all right. It's been a long day already, and it's only 4 o'clock. What's that?
Said you had one today, too.
I know, dude. I am just stroking out constantly. I'm constantly stroking. Bro.
Stop stroking it.
Always stroke. So a little bit about you. Tell us about you, your age, your game history, any family, anything like that?
Oh god. So I'm 32. That's hard to say.
I feel that.
I grew up with my mom mostly. All kinds of video games. Started off on like fighting games like Tekken and Mortal Kombat and stuff, right? Didn't really get into competitive gaming for a really long time until around like when Overwatch came out.
Okay.
I was a support main there and I had a great time. I peaked master rank and then I just stopped playing for a while. It was on console game. And I wanted to get a PC and I didn't have the money for it, yada, yada, yada. So fast forward to the future. Here we are. I hear about this game coming out in like a year called Marvel Rivals. I love Marvel and I'm like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to not pay attention to this game because I know it's going to kill me waiting for it to come out, right? So all of a sudden, one day on like December 2nd or something, I was like, wait a minute, wasn't there a Marvel game coming out? What was that called? Oh yeah, Rivals. Let me look. Oh, it comes out in 4 days. Yes, here we go. Thank God. All right. So, and here we are. I started out support season 0, and I decided, you know what? All my favorite characters are DPS. I'm gonna play DPS this game. Let's let's push for it, right?
All right.
And here we are. I peaked GM2 last season.
Nice. Congrats on that.
Thank you.
I'm, as you know, I barely peaked gold, so, you know.
That's all right.
You're a god amongst men in my eyes. Don't think about anything else about yourself.
I'm struggling, man.
Aren't we all? Okay, so you said that you're a support main in season zero, and then you moved into DPS. Who's your main right now?
Currently, Human Torch.
Okay. I know Human Conrad Torch! Has been yeah. on the Human Torch grind. He's in love with him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just want to say that's the second time that I have called that one of my co-hosts is going to be super excited about a response that somebody said. I know you clowns all too well.
How you feel about this season? You banned every time you try to lock the man?
Hang on. We'll get there. I can't play him, but I can't play any flyers, so. Okay, so what's your thoughts on season two so far?
So to be honest, I really haven't played a whole lot of competitive. I mean, like, as far as quick play or anything goes, like, the balance seems fine. The game's fun to play. As far as competitive goes, they announced that they were moving more towards performance-based and on the rank adjustments. I was like, we went through this in Overwatch. I'm not doing this again. So I've just been kind of steering clear for a while until they work that out.
That's fair. Yeah, I know. At the beginning, I thought performance-based was going to be well worth it, but it just turned into, you know.
If only we had like a case study or if anybody had any experience of another game making these same decisions. And like, I don't know if you guys have realized, but every complaint that Marvel Rivals has had right now has already been hashed out in Overwatch years ago, right? We are going through the exact same thing where it's like dive's too strong, support's too strong.
I mean, history repeats itself, you know? So how many kills you can get, and you're not really doing objective-based things in an objective-based game, which, you know, it's kind of a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so who do you think is, like, with the patch that came out, who do you think was the biggest winner or loser in the patch?
I think that is between Human Torch and Iron Fist.
Okay.
Human Torch went from exactly like, right. I mean, I think he was secretly A tier before this, if I'm being perfectly honest. I think a lot of people just didn't know how to play him and they were afraid to play him because he had such a bad release. Mm-hmm. Like that first buff they gave him was really good.
But, like being I able mean, to land yes, shots just, changes like, that the game's
like,
play.
Oh, like how's Human Torch? Yeah, he's like D tier, right? And right. now he's a permanent ban. So, I mean, same with Iron Fist. I mean, like, I don't think that people thought he was that weak, but he's pretty much permaban now, you know, so.
Yeah, do you think that's a good thing? Like, are they overtuning characters? Yes. Like, is that a problem?
I mean, like, if you've got one or two characters that's getting banned every single game, and then you've got, like, the rest of the roster is pretty much free game.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think that character's a little overtuned. Personally, like, I mean, like, as a Torch player, I wish they hadn't buffed him as much. I spent all this time practicing him in season 1.5, and now I don't even get to play him, you know?
Right. Yeah, that's a problem. But, I mean, you gotta think of it in just the overall scope of things. Like, if they took a character that was, like, mediocre, average, and then they just gave him a buff, like, that means that NetEase is being aggressive with their buffs, I think. So, that, you know, is a good sign. They're not scared to just do a bunch of micro buffs and wait 7 seasons for somebody to actually be viable.
Well, I think they're buffing the wrong things sometimes too, you know, like, for example, like I said, I thought he was pretty much A tier after his last buff, you know, if you knew how to play him, like I was getting 60 to 65% win rates with him, you know, like,
okay.
He's good. He wins more games than he doesn't if you know how to play him. And a lot of that is solo queue, too. It's not
Dog
like
is
I'm
losing its mind.
On, you know, a stack. But anyways, right. where was I going with that? Oh, my God. oh, yeah. So there was one buff that, like, I had asked for a few times, like, you know, the game suggestion votes in Discord. I brought it up on Reddit a few times. Like, there's really just one thing I want to be able to do, man. When I press F, when I dive bomb the ground, I want to be able to turn my camera. Because, like, the way it was, you slam the ground, your camera's locked at that point on the ground. And you hit somebody and they go flying off your screen. They're shooting at you already and you're still stuck looking at that spot on the ground. Like, I just want to pre-aim, man. I don't want to have to, like, flick to somebody off screen to try and hit them to finish them off. That kind of puts me at a disadvantage. I didn't need the bonus health with that. You know, the fire rate is obviously really nice, but, like, I'd already gotten used to the fire rate. I didn't really need it at this point, you know? So it's like, don't make the character, like, better on paper, but, like, give them more opportunities for skill expression. And that's how you, like, bring a character, I think, out of bottom tier and into at least A tier, you know?
That's a really good point. I mean, yeah, you don't always have to have the numbers go up and be bigger, but, like, just small quality of life things to, you know, let a player make the difference.
Exactly.
Okay, so there's a lot of characters in the game that everybody hates. Who's the one character that, if you had the option, you would remove from the game?
Iron Fist. Yeah, Iron Fist.
you tired of him chasing you around and flying without being a flyer?
If he didn't just propel himself through the air by punching, like, I don't think he would bother me nearly as much. But, like, just seeing him just, like, and he's just, like, across the map, I'm like, kidding me.
All right, that's fair. Yeah, I can agree with that. The fact that he gets, you know, that shield, that no matter how good your reaction time is, you're still going to give him bonus health. Like, it's just inevitable. Yeah. So.
And, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Iron Fist can go away. So last week we heard from Mr. Homer Sapien, and he said that he wanted to see Daredevil be added to the game. What character do you want to see added?
You better say Doc Octopus.
All right, so I have like two.
What's that?
Dr. Octopus. I don't know why people are saying so this. Dr. Octopus. Dr. Otto Octavius.
Let him.
Maybe that's how we finally off
building chunks with his claws and throw them at people. That would be,
oh my god, like,
that'd be pretty cool.
I just think he'd be super cool to have in the game.
He's the ultimate counter to Spider-Man. Like, he can grapple somebody and hold them in place for a second.
Yeah, he has an E that just grabs them like Spider-Man's does. Oh my god.
Two top picks. One of them's already pretty much confirmed to be coming pretty soon here, so I am going to let Captain Marvel slide for a little bit. My number one after that would be Iceman. I want Iceman so badly.
Yeah?
I want Vanguard Control Tank Iceman. Yes.
Oh, that'd be pretty nice.
No.
That'd be dope.
He could never be a Vanguard with his sliding stuff. He does the Frozone like sliding.
Where's my super suit?
My super suit. Collab right there. There you go.
What's that?
That'd be a good collab. Do
a Frozone Iceman collab.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, brother. Okay. So, I mean, do you think he would get a team up? Who do you think he would get a team up with then?
Well, I think obviously he would get a team up with Spider-Man and Human Torch. Just call it the Amazing Friends team up.
Okay, sure. I'm down for that. All right, so Nettie's, you heard it here. Give us an Iceman. Do it. Just to wrap up here, is there anything you want to let the community know? Anything you want to tell them to stop being bad at?
I would say it's just a game, guys. As far as, like, the support strike and everything goes, like, it's just a game. And that's one person with one opinion. Like, just let it go. And that's pretty much it.
Yeah, it's your rank in, you know, this one game is not going to decide who you are as a person. It's not going to determine your self-worth.
Let me rephrase that a little bit. The role wars in general just, like, need to stop. Just, it's childish.
I mean, you can't have a game, you have to have a tank, you have to have DPS, you have to have supports, like, it's just the nature of the game. Everybody has their roles, and just you got to understand everybody's strengths and weaknesses with those roles, you know?
Agree.
So
I think every role takes a lot of skill too. Every role takes a different kind of skill.
Yes.
So one person saying like, hey, I think that this doesn't take skill.
Oh, okay. Pause, ignore that person.
Right.
Pause. So I will say right now, strategist takes skill if you're playing Loki, Invisible Woman, Adam Warlock, or Jeff. I will tell you right now, bragging about being a good Rocket player is bragging about being a good it's like bragging about being able to breathe real good. It's like it just comes naturally to everyone, right?
It's like you're a good Mercy.
Right? No, like, I'm just, and that's just how the characters are designed. And that's good that they're designed that way. There should always be accessible characters, right? Accessible characters, though, should never be the best characters like they are right now. That's all I'm saying. I just wish that we could step away from the less skilled supports into a more high skilled supports. I wish we'd saw more in the average area, more Loki gameplay, more Adam Warlock gameplay, even more Jeff gameplay. That motherfucker takes some skill, man.
Love me some
but
Jeff.
but I'm just Rocket Raccoon. I will never say is a skillful character. I think that's a character that should just exist as, you know, I'm being forced to play support and I'm just not good at the game, so I'll just lock Rocket Raccoon because I don't play the role. But that's not how it is. He has a 60% pick rate with over a 60% win rate. He's overpowered for zero effort, right? But yes, support does take skill. I agree with the man. Every role takes skill. Every role takes different skills. Some characters, though, don't take.
Don't know what they're talking about.
Right. Yeah, because like even so this goes just beyond Marvel Rivals, just any game in general. Like there's different sets of priorities. Like, so I play a lot of World of Warcraft.
Fucking nerd.
So I can be a DPS just fine. Like I know I can learn my rotation, do all that. I can make big number. You try to ask me
what he's not saying, though, is he plays BM. What he's not saying, he plays BM Hunter and his rotation is like four buttons.
It's more than that. There's Barb Shot, Cobra Shot, Kill Command, Bestial Wrath, my trinkets. So that's seven buttons right there.
Play Shadow Priest for a season and then come talk to me.
I don't want to play Shadow Priest. I don't want to play Priest in general.
To play a healer and I have to try and keep everyone else alive, that is the most stressful thing on the planet and I will refuse to do it. Putting other people's lives in my hands is the worst. I want nothing to do with it.
You know, out of like, okay, so I've been playing a lot of DPS this season, and last season, support's still my best class. Like, and if I swap to support, like, I start killing it if I'm struggling on DPS. So, I mean, like, they definitely, like, I feel like they take different kinds of skill, and you could say that to be, oh, okay, well, that's because support's easier than DPS. No, it's not. It was because I'm focused on different things, right? Like,
right.
My aim's not here today, fine, whatever. But, like, my cooldown management is on point. My positioning's on point. Like, I'm still doing my job here, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what people need to understand. Again, it's not just about big number, or I make big number happen. It's, you gotta understand and have the game sense to know what you need to do in that moment. So
exactly.
It's the whole, yeah, you're right, the whole position war that's happening is needs to stop. I agree with really you wholeheartedly. Does. I don't know how Conrad feels about that. I'm sure he's going to have opinions and still continue to say that supports are boosted. So
I can't wait to hear Conrad.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Valiant Blue, for joining me today. And if you have a hot take, I think it's always your teammate's fault you can't climb, or have a complaint you feel the community needs to hear, join our Discord. The links will be in the description, and look for the To Be On An Episode channel. Tell us you want to be part of Heavy Metal, and I or one of the other hosts will get in contact with you, and we'll get an interview set up with you. So thank you for your time, Valiant Blue, and we'll send it back to the boys.
It'll be Vance. That's his job.
Yeah, Vance is it.
Thank you, Valiant.
Thank you, sir. It was really cool talking to him.
Fire take.
I need to stop seeing all these cool guys with nuanced and balanced opinions. I want some heat.
The tweakers.
I need some fire. So I'm reaching out to the community right now. Let's get some of that.
I thought the Come whole on. Point of us doing these on a recorded segment was to make sure we didn't get the people that said heinous shit.
No, we're doing.
Oh,
we're
no,
doing
not heinous things. No, I'm saying we just need some real hot takes. We're getting a lot of cool guys that are obviously, you know, matured a little bit. That are like, you know,
emotionally intelligent.
Things are never as simple as they seem. You know, there's some take. It's like, I need some take.
Yeah. Or we need some 19-year-olds to come in and start letting it loose.
I need the heat.
We need to get the right state esports team to come in and give us some takes. They'll tell us how they really feel.
So we always appreciate you guys. So, hey, I know it's not a 2-hour episode. Stand by, because we've been talking and we are thinking about maybe moving to do weekly episodes. So we might do that in the future. We just got to talk that out a little bit more. But please, everybody, if you haven't already, join the Discord in the link below. There's a bunch of cool people that are talking, you know, Marvel Rivals and other things. We do community game nights every other Saturday so far. So next week on Saturday, we're going to do some games. If you want to come play with us, that'd be dope. Like and subscribe on the YouTube channel. That'd be pretty dope.
Share our podcasts. Share us with your friends. You know?
Leave comments.
Oh, we have an X now. I made an X for us.
Yeah. Nice.
Gross. Nice.
Follow us on X.
Leave comments. Even if that comment is like, Conrad is based.
Who in their right mind is calling Conrad based?
And everything he spits is straight fire. Like,
yeah, okay.
Like, or if you want to come in and be like, nah, dude, like, you're lame. That too. Come on, leave comments. Any interaction.
You suck.
Yeah, you sound like the kid from the Polar Express.
You can't hate me more than I hate myself. You can try.
You can do your best.
Yeah, you can do your best, but I beat you there.
I win that battle every time.
Every time. Yeah. All right. But I'm going to let you guys say your outros. Go, Dehita Work.
The Heat of Work at Twitch TV, and follow us on X now and YouTube.
And Vance Helsing Gaming. I have a YouTube channel at Vance Helsing Gaming. I also manage the Marvel Rivals Twitch, and I do all the editing and stuff for the Marvel Rivals podcast. And my wife does all the thumbnails now. Nice. By the way, Dante, I'm taking over the thumbnails. And by I'm taking over them, Jenny's taking over them.
That's fine. That was funny. That was a funny thumbnail.
And I am Conrad Gunther. You can always catch me streaming. I'm playing Expedition 33 right now.
Let's go, Expedition 33!
Expedition 33!
It's so fire. Good. Go get it, everybody.
Yeah, it's fire. You can catch me at twitch.tv/Conrad Gunther. We should have had Florida Man this week because he would have balanced me out a little bit more than these guys did.
I think we did. Remember,
I think I did okay. I think I stepped in pretty well.
Remember, every role is valuable. Every role requires skill. I think there are some problematic characters for sure, but play what you want to, right? And don't be toxic to other people. And if you can't stop yourself from doing that, mute yourself for real. All right.
Yeah. Be nice to everyone.
Be excellent to each other.
I wouldn't go that far.
Yeah, probably not.
Well, have you never seen Bill and Ted's Excellent
Adventure? All right, we're leaving. Okay, bye!
Bye!
All right.